All right, hour two of the Blitz, starting right now. 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. Live in your Fan Run Radio app. That's free wherever you get your apps. We're also live in the Fan Run Radio web browser. And if you want to watch that video feed, see me and Sam's beautiful faces. That's over on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter feed. That live stream is. You can go check it out. Hour one of the podcast, if you missed it, also up over on Twitter. Hour two to be posted shortly thereafter. Let's get hour two started with an opening drive. All right, all right. First down. We mentioned it earlier, but WBC final tonight. It all comes down to this. The United States of America and Japan competing to win the World Baseball Classic. Fox Sports 1, 7 o'clock, first pitch. Absolutely pumped for this one. I mean, I think, again, the environment's been great. I don't know what the crowd's going to be like tonight. I don't really know. Like, it looked like Japan had a pretty decent contingent there, but I don't really know how many Japan supporters have been able to make their way to Miami for this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's a good crowd, though. I expect it to be. I think it's going to be electric, honestly.
That's a good point. Mexico probably would have been a little bit more fun.
Starting pitchers tonight, Merrill Kelly is getting the start for the United States. A journeyman from the Diamondbacks. I like Merrill Kelly. Always kind of have. 34 years old. Made his MLB debut, though, just in 2019. So, he didn't even get to make his debut until he was in his 30s. I think a well-liked guy. Not a bad pitcher either. I mean, last year, 3.37 ERA, went 13-8 on, a pretty mediocre Diamondbacks team. He has a sub-4 ERA as a career. I mean, it's not going to blow you away, but I think he gives the U.S. what you need. And surprising move from Japan, Yu Darvish was the expected starter. You know, Shohei Ohtani also potentially available to pitch, but last night they made the announcement it's actually going to be Shota Imanaga making the start tonight for Japan. Guess that puts Yu Darvish still available to come out of the pen. I don't know if Shohei will pitch or not.
Shohei said he's going to be prepared to. But I don't know if they'll let him.
I think he's going to want to. You know, he's an ultra competitor. He loves his country. I think you should be prepared to see both Yu Darvish and Shohei tonight.
You want to know something absurd? The White Sox didn't. Lance Lynn asked. He called the White Sox and asked if he could close the game tonight, and they said no.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're now anti-White Sox here on the Blitz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry Reinsdorf. He just ruins everything. He's ruined the Bulls, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to ruin the White Sox, too.
That's frustrating.
If Shohei's going to be able to pitch tonight, let Lance Lynn pitch. Lance Lynn has so much less to lose.
You'd let Lance Lynn pitch in spring training tonight. Like, why you wouldn't? You can't give him an inning in the WBC final.
Wouldn't closing the game be even more beneficial to his arm?
You know what? If I'm Lance Lynn,
I'm just saying, screw the owner and just walking out there.
What are you going to do? Take my birthday away?
Yeah.
Cut me? Oh no, you cut me. Now
you're taking away the best pitcher on your roster.
Oh no, now someone else is just going to pay me even more than you, bums.
Yeah, I would walk out there.
If I'm Lance Lynn, I'm walking out there with an American flag cape and two middle fingers to all of Chicago.
Yeah.
The people that are still just incessantly whining about the WBC and, well, it doesn't matter. I saw the argument yesterday. Well, you know, it matters to the Dominican Republic and to Venezuela and Japan, but what are the TV ratings in the U.S.? You know, March Madness blowing it out of the water. Yeah, obviously March Madness is going to blow it out of the water, but it still means something to a good deal of people, and it definitely means something to the players. Like, it's undeniable how much it means to the players when you hear literally every one of them talk about it. When Trey Turner calls it the biggest home run of his life. When Adam Wainwright, who's a longtime MLB vet, says it's the most fun he's ever had playing baseball. I'm so tired of the whining.
Me too.
let's just go win a championship tonight. But that's your pitching matchup. I'm not entirely sure who all is available to pitch for the U.S. after Merrill Kelly, to be quite honest with you. The pitching rules are so confusing to me.
The bullpen for the U.S. is just a little subpar anyway.
Yeah.
Compared to, I guess, like what our lineup is.
Tonight we're going to need the bats. I mean, the bats are going to be big. And
absolutely.
They have been so far, so hopefully it continues. But WBC final tonight, Sam, second down.
Second down, Cam Newton throwing at Auburn's pro day in front of NFL teams today. Went on to Twitter yesterday, posted a little hype video of him. Said, tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs. Don't worry about it. I'm going to show you. He said, ain't 32 MFers better than me. I think there are, Cam. I think there probably are.
Cam, I don't know.
I think there probably are 32 guys better than you.
Sorry, Cam, but...
But I will... Let's see you throw the rock today. Let's see what you got. How many more quarterbacks do you think are better than Cam Newton? 20, 25, 26, 27?
How many quarterbacks are better than Cam Newton?
I mean, I'll say... This guy's not starting on any team, I don't think.
I mean, even if maybe there are like a team or two that he could be better than the starter on, like you're not gonna take a bad veteran over like a
I'll still take Desmond Ritter's future over Cam Newton.
Yeah, like if I'm gonna have a mediocre at best quarterback, I might as well let it be
a 23-year-old.
Yeah, someone that has the ability to get better.
Yeah,
and that doesn't create his own font.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like that font.
I do. There is a part of me that respects it.
Just because of how long it probably takes him to do that. Yeah.
He probably just has like a jailbroken phone that just has the letters as that.
Shine through the shade. That was his hashtag on that video. Shine through the shade. Not for likes, just for life. I like that.
I like Cam Newton.
He's a good guy.
Is he?
I think he's a good guy.
For the most part.
Yeah, I think he's a good guy. Happy guy.
Happy guy. He actually, yeah, I mean, he was pretty beloved in the Charlotte community.
He's just not a great, for the community. Just can't throw a football great.
I mean, he did, like, steal a laptop one time, but everyone's made mistakes. We're not our mistakes, I don't think.
He's gotten better from his mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I like Cam Newton when I think about it. I guess
he's just
the part of me that
cat.
Doesn't like Cam Newton is the part of me that still remembers what was it, 2014? Him just hitting the folks right in Wesley Woodyard's face in the left end zone and in the Titans Stadium. There's part of me that every time I think, Cam Newton, good guy. Oh, Cam Newton doing stuff in the community. I like this guy. Part of me then just remembers him hitting the Superman and then the right in Wesley Woodyard's face, which...
Completely
then again,
warranted.
Then again, yeah, I mean, if you don't like it, don't let him score a touchdown on you. All right, we're pro Cam Newton on this show.
Yeah.
So we're anti-White Sox, pro Cam Newton. I feel like we're pro and anti a lot of different things. We should start keeping track of them.
We should.
All right, I'm going to start keeping...
a blitz pro and anti list?
Yeah. Pro Cam Newton. Anti... Chicago White Sox. If anyone else remembers anything we've declared ourselves pro or anti, let me know. I'll add it to the list. But right now, starting fresh, I got pro Cam Newton, anti White Sox. Third down, disgusting news out of the NHL.
Yeah.
Tragic news out of the NHL. They've taken the best jerseys in all of sports and ruined them. Coming 2024, the NHL has partnered with Fanatics, the new on-ice uniform partner across the NHL. Fanatics currently makes jerseys for the NHL. They make, like, cheaper jerseys of, like, the Adidas ones. the official Adidas, the official on ice, you know, jersey provider for the NHL currently. I think they make a really good product. Reebok still, in my opinion, made a much better hockey jersey than Adidas. But like Adidas, I don't think their jerseys.
I like the Reebok ones.
Are awful. I still think Reebok was better. But Fanatics just makes cheap, weird, like odd-looking, gross-feeling gear. I don't think I've ever gotten something from Fanatics and been like, "Ah, this is a nice piece of clothing." I think every time I get something from Fanatics, I'm just like, "Man, I hope this doesn't fade in the wash the first time around."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think half the shirts I've gotten from Fanatics after like three washes have just like fallen apart. So Fanatics is going to start making jerseys. Maybe this means they're going to up their game. You know, maybe they're going to stop being like the cheap knockoff shirt and actually like jump up and make some good clothing. But I mean, this is just a terrible move.
I feel like Fanatics is kind of the, it's like the Christmas present you get from the, like the second or third cousin that you have. They're like, "Oh, this guy's a Tennessee fan. Like, let me get him a Tennessee shirt." And it's just like a generic Fanatics shirt.
Yep.
And you get it and you're like, "Thank you." But it's like,
it used to be Champion.
Yeah. And you've
and
got
now
like,
it's been replaced by Fanatics.
And you've got like six other shirts that are probably better than it. And you're like, I mean, I'll probably wear it, but
I might wear
it's not
it
going
to like
be in my rotation.
Paint or, you know, maybe I'll
yeah,
wear it to
I'll
work
go to
out
sleep
once.
In it, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Maybe we're just slandering Fanatics right now. Maybe we're putting. We're just
maybe they're going to improve the quality of their product.
Hey, put it on the list. I think we're pretty anti-Fanatics.
Yeah, you know what? Throw it on the list. We are anti-Fanatics.
We clearly do not like their product. We're trying to talk ourselves into somewhat respecting it. We just don't like it at all.
The NHL is not getting any good press from this either.
No.
They are getting torched in the replies and in the quote tweets on Twitter. So far, my favorite one. I'm retweeting it. Someone replied to it with a picture of a broken car window, and it said, "Guys, please be careful. I left my Fanatics jersey in my car, and someone broke in and left four more."
That's good.
Biggest winner in all of this? DHgate.
Yeah.
The counterfeit jerseys are about to just be better than the actual ones. Like DHgate, they might have something to do with this. Your go-to place for counterfeit Chinese jerseys. The hockey jerseys have always been the ones that they've had the hardest time replicating. I feel like, especially the Preds logo. The counterfeit Preds jerseys are terrible.
I think it's the color. I think it's mastering that mustard yellow that's tough.
But Fanatics, I think, is always... I mean, DHgate, the counterfeit market, they've always done a really bad job with hockey jerseys. But, I mean, I fully expect the counterfeits to be better than the actual ones now that Fanatics has taken over. Just such disappointing news. Sam, fourth down.
Fourth down. Iona looking at FDU's Tobin Anderson after Rick Pitino has left Iona for St. John's after three seasons there. Tobin Anderson just led FDU to the second 16 seed ever to beat a one seed, beating Purdue 63-58, made it to the round of 32, put up a hell of a fight in the round of 32. Just a good guy, Tobin Anderson is. You see a lot of videos about him.
He's going fishing.
He just wants to go fishing.
He just wants to go fishing.
I mean, just a simple guy. He'd been at Division II St. Thomas Aquinas before being at Fairleigh Dickinson in his first season this year. They were a 4-win team before he got there. He went 21-16 this year. He was a hell of a coach at St. Thomas Aquinas in his years from 2013 all the way to 2022. He went 209-62. So he's got a great record there. Apparently Iona was interested in him before they hired Rick Pitino. They were actually looking at him as one of their three finalists before they hired him in 2020.
Can you believe that?
Apparently.
Alright, cool.
Per sources. I don't know.
Per sources.
No,
I swear, bro, like we liked him too. We were in on him.
Is St. Thomas Aquinas like in in
It's a good basketball program.
Is that in New York?
Sounds like it, now that I think about it.
It seems like it.
In my head, St. Thomas Aquinas was always in Minnesota.
Yeah, that.
But
let's see, I don't think
it actually was.
It's in New York.
Because there is a different St. Thomas in Minnesota, the Tommies.
There's like five St. Thomases.
St. Thomas in Minnesota, I think in Minnesota, yeah, they made the jump to Division I this past year. They're in the Summit League and the Pioneer Football League.
Okay.
But yeah, St. Thomas Aquinas, I mean, yeah, that sounds like as New York of a school as it gets.
Yeah, this St. Thomas is in New York, so that makes sense, being him, maybe being an Iona finalist.
All right.
But yeah, Tobin Anderson looking like he might get that Iona job, getting a little step up. Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
More time to fish.
More time to fish. Or less.
More money to fish.
Nicer gear, less time to fish.
Give
good
and
area
take.
To fish, maybe.
Give and
you
take.
Know, maybe go up to like Canada.
Yeah. Give and take. I just remembered more things to put on our anti.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Knoxville area Firestones.
Okay, yeah.
And pro
anti-trains.
Pro all other Firestones.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not... trains are an enemy of the show.
No,
I'm
anti-train. I'm anti-train.
Are you?
Yeah. We'll you can put my name on it.
Yeah, we'll just throw it on there. I'll hop on
there. You can just put anti and then Sam in parentheses.
We got a good running list going. We'll catch a break. Logan Quinton joining the show on the other side. The NHL going with Fanatics as their jersey provider is like the White House buying Sparkle paper towels.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what Sparkle brand paper towels are.
I'm assuming it's just like
if you're
the worst
a cheap guy
paper
like
towels
me,
all the time.
Then you're aware.
Do you do Sparkle paper
sometimes,
towels?
Sometimes.
I invest in my paper products.
I invest in my toilet paper products, not paper towels.
I'll get, yeah,
but
I guess
I have,
that's true.
I've upped my paper towel game a little bit recently. I did my last time around actually buy some Bounty, and I think it might be worth the price.
Yeah, you can save a lot of paper towels, yeah.
But like Sparkle is the brand that's even cheaper than like Kroger brand.
Huh.
Like they smell weird when they get wet.
Yeah.
Kind of brand. Like,
yeah.
That is, I think, the equivalent of Fanatics is Sparkle brand paper towels. Just a complete and utter joke that...
What if we're like the only two people that hate Fanatics? Everyone's like, I kind of like Fanatics,
like,
dang.
I love Fanatics. It's my favorite brand. Anyway, we're going to head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Got a special guest joining the show. My guy, your guy, everyone's guy for college baseball, your local college baseball expert. One half of the 920 podcast, host of the 920 podcast, Logan Quinton.
Charlie, what is up, my man?
How you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday. Man, what a weekend of sports. The college basketball was amazing. Some of the college baseball was amazing. But the baseball that happened in Como, man, I don't know what was colder. The weather? The Vols, the umpires, man, it was nuts. What a way to start SEC play if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, Logan, with a weekend as disastrous as that was, you know, we're not going to hold back here. We're going to jump right into it. What went wrong for Tennessee this weekend? And, you know, how worried are you about this team moving forward?
Well, it's certainly not time to hit the panic button, but who would have thought that the Vols would be searching for their first SEC win, not series win, but first win in general, like headed into the second weekend to welcome the Aggies. I mean, it's hard to believe. Charlie, you and I talked about how you were a little more apprehensive about Missouri than myself, but we both had a little bit of reservations about Missouri, but we both felt like this team was better, and they are, right? They return a lot of production. And, you know, credit to Missouri. The bats in their lineup were ready to compete, and they looked really, really good. On the other side, when it comes to Tennessee, the bats were just very underwhelming. You know, you come away with six runs for the total series, and I get that the weather, you know, it's a very weird environment out there. It was like, you know, no man's land out there. But Missouri came to play and you didn't. So you got to figure out something with the lineup. And it's not just the bottom part of the lineup. It's, you got to have a guy or two just to be able to take over and be an example for the rest of the lineup. You know, even if, you know, it's one thing to drop a game or a series or something, but just to, you know, roll one out like that really, really hurts what this lineup was doing. And then on the pitching side of things, I'll say this. You know, we ran into the Dolander stuff again, the thing where Dolander struggles early in games. It seems to be either early in games or early in the season, you know, when he gets a little shaky. We saw the game before the Morehead State game he pitched. He had a 27-pitch inning to start the game against Morehead State. It was a little bit different then. He just trouble locating with Missouri. They touched him up. But then he settles back in, and he's able to cruise, much like we're used to seeing. Chase Burns, you know, for his stat line, you know, giving up 7 runs, 6 earned, it wasn't as bad as some. You know, if you watch the game, Chase Burns actually threw really well. You know, he got touched up early, too, and then he kind of settled in. You had, with that Chase Burns game, you had a bloop that Maui Ahuna could have ended the inning, and he loses it in the wind and the sun, and that led to a run. And then Chase Burns balks in a run later in the game. So there's a couple right there that, you know, if you don't have it, it kind of changes the complexion of that game. You know, talking about game two, which was game one of the doubleheader. I really feel like that, look, Tennessee has the edge in just about any matchup you could roll out there with any team this year because of their pitching. So, but at the same time, the way things shook out over the weekend with scheduling and the weather, Missouri getting that doubleheader, 2 7-inning doubleheaders, it worked out for a dream scenario for Missouri because the way that they were able to stack their pitching, and it all came to fruition, right? The guys that they rolled out and the rotation they rolled out, the guys just showed up. And so you shorten the game in that game too. I really think a couple of more innings, that's a 1-run ball game. That UT, you know, showed a little bit of life late, but then it died. And then in game two, they just couldn't get anything back going again.
You know, Missouri, we talked about this on the podcast. Missouri last year, I thought, played Tennessee pretty well too. You know, they were one of the only teams that I think kind of played with an edge against Tennessee and weren't really intimidated by, you know, the pitching or the high-powered offense. It was a bad Missouri team, but they still managed 3, 4, and 3 runs in those three games last year in Lindsey Nelson, respectively. And, you know, I think made Tennessee sweat a couple times in that series. And then, obviously, they jumped all over you this past weekend. It feels like Missouri batters, well, first of all, you know, Tennessee, Dolander and Burns specifically, seems like they really like to challenge guys early in counts. And Missouri's had a really nice approach to those guys. And you know, it felt like they were ready to jump on some first pitches and ready to try to jump on that first fastball and really attack within their at-bats. Are you concerned that that is something that other teams may start to pick up on that might become, you know, more repeatable? Do you think that, you know, that's a conversation that Tennessee has in their pitching, you know, meetings this week about potentially changing your approach ever so slightly?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a great point, because if there's one thing, you know, Tennessee's going to do on the pitching side of things, there's one requirement that Frank Anderson has if you're going to be a pitcher of his, because if you're on board with Frank, that already means you have talent, right? And the number one requirement is throw strikes. And so you're going to run into this to where you just get beat a few times, like that Chase Burns game that I mentioned. He looked really good. It's just he flat out got beat on some at-bats, and you kind of have to, you know, roll with the punches and keep on going. And you look at 12 strikeouts, 1 walk for Burns. So it's, you just, you mentioned it, the Missouri bats, were just tuned in and sitting fastball there a bunch. But then when some other guys came in, when Tennessee relieved, whether it was Burns or Dolander, it seemed like their guys were able to change the script a little bit, and instead of sitting fastball, they start hunting breaking balls. And like, that's what impressed me the most. They were able to adjust. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it kind of blew me away how good Missouri's lineup looked against Tennessee. We knew they had been good up to this point, but you and I both talked about, you know, like you mentioned, they weren't afraid last year going into Lindsey Nelson. It really seemed like they were licking their chops, you know, welcoming the Vols to Como to begin SEC play. But look, it is as good as this weekend rotation is. We talk about it all the time. How, I mean, it's really rare what we saw last year with Dolander, Burns, and B. Two of them were freshmen. One of them was first year in the SEC, right? And they dominated the whole season. They are good. They're, you know, we know how good they are. But when you start seeing, if you're an opponent and you start seeing a guy for the second, third time around, you know, it's, Missouri saw these guys last year, you know, in Knoxville. It levels things up a bit. You know, it doesn't take away from the fact that you're going to have the edge in pitching, like I mentioned, if you're Tennessee, but it does level things up a bit. It brings more scouting into it and more game planning into it, and then you've got the experience of going up against these guys, and I think Missouri took advantage of that.
Again, we're talking with Logan Quinton. You can find him on Twitter, LDQ Sports, host of the 920 podcast, and again, your resident college baseball expert. Logan, what do you need to see from this team? I mean, it's a short turnaround. You got an A&M team that has some momentum coming off of a big comeback against LSU on Sunday. What do you need to see from this Tennessee team this weekend to kind of, you know, restore your confidence in them?
Well, to me, it's the lineup, right? Like, I know a lot of people were concerned about the pitching side of things, thinking, well, we kind of knew, we expected games to be like this where we just don't hit, right? But for me, it's still the lineup. They're going to have, look, some guys are going to exercise some demons tonight, I feel like, against Western Carolina, but this is not the bounce-back spot. The bounce-back spot is this weekend, starting off against Texas A&M and their Friday night guy, Nathan Detmer. And so I'm real interested to see what the lineup will be then. And you just, like I said, I want to see a guy just, maybe it is a Blake Burke, you know, one of the usual suspects, like a Denton or Burke or Merritt, that really gets the offense going early. But, you know, that would be fine. But I would really love it to be somebody like a Dilling Drolling or something like that to give this offense a jolt. And speaking of the Aggies and Nathan Detmer, that could be a really big challenge right off the bat Friday night. Detmer, when he has his slider going and he's able to execute that as an out pitch, because he can already locate his fastball pretty well, pretty decent in that regard. But when he's using that slider going as an out pitch and teams can't touch it, he's one of the better pitchers in the conference. And that's really the cliff notes and the kind of the end-all be-all with Detmer. So that's going to be a super interesting matchup. But I think on the series as a whole, man, that Tennessee, you just got to take care of home, win this series. You cannot go to Baton Rouge. Even if you, dropping two series in a row and then headed to Baton Rouge is not a recipe that any of us want to see cook up, right? And so you have to figure out a way to win this series by any means necessary. But for me, it starts in the lineup. You got to get a boost from the lineup.
Logan, we'll close with this. Do you think there's anything that maybe Tony Vitello needs to switch up? Any buttons that he maybe potentially needs to press with his baseball team and, you know, lineup or rotation or bullpen or anything just at all, approach-wise, you know, coming into this series to try to get some sort of spark?
Well, I think they've rotated guys enough in the lineup and experimented enough that they kind of, from a technical standpoint, from like you're talking about a lineup rolling out, they kind of have a feel for A, B, or C. To me, we've talked about it, right? Like, you and I and a lot of other people think that, you know, there's not a significant gap, but if for like an outfield spot or a DH spot, like Dylan Dreiling probably has the edge there. It's not a significant gap, obviously, or else the dude would be, they'd be putting him in that lineup like every single time the way this offense has struggled. So I don't think it's as much moving personnel around as it is, you know, having a hard talk with these guys and just, you know, I think a lot of it is just seeing a consistent response from some of those holes in your lineup or your outfield. Kavarys Tears, man, he had a great play in right field in foul territory that ended an inning. We saw what he did offensively against Morehead State the weekend before. You know, maybe it's a guy like that, but I think it starts with having some hard conversations. Some guys may get their feelings hurt, but, you know, I think I kind of sense that now's the time for, you know, a moment like that where you're going through a few days of practice or even a midweek game and things start to feel really uncomfortable. But what can come out of that is guys taking an opportunity, you know, by the horns and stepping up and creating a sense of identity and culture within this club. And I think that's what this club needs, and it may be time for that.
Well, Logan, hey, appreciate you joining the show today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. It's good to talk to you as always.
Absolutely. I'm sure we will be in touch this week. Can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Logan Quinton, host of the 920 podcast. Should have an episode dropping later this week ahead of the A&M series, and you can find him over on Twitter at LDQ Sports. Going to catch a break here. Get into Tuesday draft to pretty much end the show on the other side. All right, it's Tuesday. It's time to draft. Sam, what we got today?
In honor of the World Baseball Classic, USA versus Japan, let's draft our top five American things. Favorite American things.
Favorite American things. All right. I went first last week. You go first this week. We'll start alternating.
Okay. I like that.
So, snake draft, five picks each. What do you got? First pick. A lot of pressure. Are you going to pick the most American thing?
Yeah, a lot of pressure. It's a clear 1-1. It's a prospect you can't jump over. Been the number one pick all of the season long.
Since 1776, really.
It's Bald Eagle.
Oh, that was not where I thought you were going. You got Bald Eagle?
Are you taking the American flag?
With my first pick, I don't know what you just did, but you just took Ryan Leaf.
No.
I'm taking Peyton here. Give me freedom.
I mean, I guess that's like there's freedom in other countries though too.
Give me freedom.
Yeah, you immediately retracted that one there, huh?
Freedom.
There's freedom in other countries.
Yeah, but freedom. Freedom's an American thing. And then with my second pick, I'm taking apple pie.
Apple pie was on my list.
Yeah, apple pie. I mean, that's just you just trust apple pie. Like apple pie is taking.
Apple pie is the offensive tackle that's been good there.
Yeah, he's just the best offensive tackle available. You know, maybe you draft him a little bit high, but it's a safe pick.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom and apple pie, that's where I'm starting this draft off. Back to you.
I'm going to go back to food. I'm going to go with backyard barbecues.
Backyard barbecues. Not to be confused with out-of-business fast food chain backyard burger.
No. But, like, yes. Getting the family together, firing up the grill, putting some wings on there, some brisket, some ribs,
start
something
with some
like
dogs.
That. Yeah, some burgers, anything you want. Backyard barbecue.
Backyard barbecue. Big third pick coming. This
yeah,
is a
third
swing pick.
I'm going to start getting weird here.
This is a swing pick.
Number three, I'm going to go with the SEC. The Southeastern Conference. There is nothing more American than the Southeastern Conference.
That's
because
a good pick.
You know what you can do? You can combine your backyard barbecues with your Southeastern Conference. You can watch football. You can barbecue. And nothing. They don't have anything like the SEC and the rest of the world.
I was going to take college football.
I think that can still apply.
I don't know. I'd say the SEC just kind of encompasses that. So
okay.
It's a good pick. He took college football from me. I'm going to get really specific with this.
Okay.
I was going to go broad, but I'm going to take 4th of July baseball games.
Ooh, that's a really good pick, yeah. I was going
to
pick,
I was going to just go baseball as a whole, but I really want to narrow it down to 4th of July baseball games. Where they start at 11 a.m. in the nation's capital. You know, you got players wearing American cleats and American flag jerseys, and you know, you think back to that legendary scene. I'm going to say something a little bit gross here. I think The Sandlot, slightly overrated, at least in the realm of a sports movie. I think it's more of just like an American coming-of-age story than it is like a sports movie.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's a little bit, I think it's held up just a slight bit too high. But one of the best scenes in cinema history is that night game on
the
4th
of July
under the fireworks.
Saying that you don't, saying that you don't like The Sandlot is the most un-American thing you could have said.
I didn't say. You're putting words in my mouth.
You said it's overrated. You said it's overrated.
I said it's held up slightly too high, but that scene is cinematic perfection. 4th of July baseball. I don't know how you can beat that.
Nothing beats it. A backyard barbecue watching 4th of July baseball, maybe. My fourth pick.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got another one there.
I got another one. I don't really know where I'm going with it.
I've got two really weird ones.
More American. I'm going to go with Ford F-150s.
All right. I like that. Trucks.
Yeah, trucks.
Trucks.
Just nothing like rolling up to your backyard barbecue on the 4th of July to play some baseball and getting all your baseball gear out of the back of your F-150.
I like that.
It's my final pick. Or my, not my final pick, but my fourth pick is Ford F-150s.
I like that.
Back to you for your final two picks.
My fourth pick, I'm going to go Should I go to food again?
You're going to double down on food?
I don't think so. I'm going to go cut off t-shirts.
That might be the pick that seals the win
for
me,
honestly. Name me someone that is wearing a cutoff t-shirt that's just not an American.
I don't know. I feel like maybe Eastern Europe. Like, I could see some, like, Albanians, Romanians wearing the cutoff tees.
It's like way too
NASCAR, monster trucks.
Yeah, people will go out in public in a cutoff t-shirt. I feel like maybe
I go out in public in cutoff t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cutoff t-shirt number four. And then for my last pick, I'm going to go, this may land, this may not. I'm going to go with us having a completely different measuring system than the rest of the world.
Nope, that's a great pick.
Okay, yeah.
That is a great pick. I don't know what it is, but I take pride in the fact that we just said, screw your kilometers and your meters and your metric system. We do our own thing.
Let's make our own thing. And you're going to have
Celsius,
to learn it.
Celsius is for losers.
You're going to have to learn those conversions.
We do Fahrenheit over here. I absolutely, that's a great pick.
Yeah, that's rounding it off.
That's an elite pick. That makes up for cutoff t-shirts in my eyes.
You don't like cutoff t-shirts?
I didn't love the pick, to be quite honest with you. But that is a great pick.
Thank you.
That is a really good pick. Gosh, I had one more, and now I kind of lost it because I just got so excited about you picking different different units of measurement. I think I'm going to wrap this up. I'm just going to take athletic dominance.
I like that.
Nothing more American than just...
That was very close to something else I was going to say, and it was American sports leagues calling themselves world champions when they win something.
I also love that. Yeah. I mean,
I love when, like, the Super Bowl is like the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. It's like, well, we're the only ones to play football.
Hey, no, actually, there's football leagues in Japan and Australia now. I watch them sometimes. It's okay. Really bad. But they're trying their best. They're learning.
Okay.
We also got NFL Europe, I think.
I guess that's true, yeah.
My brother thought about going to play.
Really?
Yeah, but then he just didn't. He's like, I think I'll just start my life instead. Get a job.
Could have been in Europe for a little bit, though.
It's a good draft, though. Sam, you have Bald Eagles, Backyard Barbecues, the Southeastern Conference, cutoff t-shirts, and a different measurement system. And the draft of the most American things. And I have Freedom, Apple Pie, 4th of July Baseball, Athletic Dominance, and Ford F-150s. We'll send it over to our special guest judge, Chris Keevan, in the text thread. Chris, text us. Who won?
Let's go. Let's go.
This is messed up. Before I even asked him, he just texted Sam wins.
Let's go.
All right, Sam.
An astounding win.
You know what? I think we're both winners.
I think we are too, because we're American.
We're in the United States of America, and we're getting our revenge for Pearl Harbor tonight, baby.
Those
we're taking down the Japanese baseball team. Free smoke. Merrill Kelly, he might throw a perfect game. America, baby.
America.
Best bet to wrap up the show. Other side. Blitz, we're wrapping up the show like we always do with a little best bet. By the way, just got the news across the timeline. You mentioned it in the opening drive. It's officially official. Tobin Anderson has agreed to a 5-year deal.
Let's go.
With Iona.
Good for him. Good for
him. Shout out Iona for just, all right, fine. Yeah, we'll replace Rick Pitino with this guy, Tobin Anderson. Sam, over to you, though.
He talks so fast.
That was so fast.
He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, takes me 20 seconds to understand what he says after he finishes a sentence.
He reminds me of seven different TV characters, and I don't know exactly who any of them are.
Yeah. You feel like you know him almost.
Sam, your best bet today?
My best bet, I'm not really sure. I'm going to go to the NIT, and I'm going to take over 121.5 in North Texas and Oklahoma State, just because that's so low of an over-under that I just want to take the over.
Quarterfinals tonight in the NIT. Y'all better be tuned in. North Texas, Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, and Oregon.
Give me Wisconsin money line. Let's go Badgers.
Wisconsin money line.
Let's go Badgers.
I already have my best bet in the NIT for tomorrow. I'm so excited about this bet. I cannot express it enough how much I love it.
That's your best bet for tomorrow?
I'm going to wake up and unload on this tomorrow morning. I can already tell you that, so it's probably going to lose. But I do have an NIT best bet tomorrow that I am all over. But my best bet tonight, haven't done this in a while. I'm heading over to the world of hockey. Tonight we have a big matchup in the Eastern Conference. The Carolina Hurricanes head up to New York, take on the New York Rangers. The Rangers are rolling. They just beat the Preds 7-0. And the day before, they beat the Penguins 6-0. So in a back-to-back, they won a combined 13-0. I think they used up their goals for the week.
I think you're right.
I think they used up their goals for the week. I think this is a good Carolina team. They have some momentum coming off an overtime win on the road already up in Philly. They got a couple days of rest, and now I think they go into New York tonight as slight underdogs. Let me see where it's at currently. You can get them underdogs. You can get them at -105 on the money line. I'm rolling with the Hurricanes tonight. That's my best bet.
I like that.
But, hey, that'll do it for the show today. Appreciate you tuning in, as always. It's good to hear from Logan Quinton today. Podcast will be posted shortly after the show. But for Sam Beard, I'm Charlie Collier. Hey, y'all have a beautiful rest of your Tuesday. John Reed, Talk Sports, is up next on Fan Run Radio. Comes to